Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so we're officially recording this week's Midweek Howl. I think this might be our first Monday morning recording session. What do you think?
I don't even know what day's day. You know, I know Mondays because I usually have about 15 phone calls throughout the day. I had to take my daughter to the dentist this morning and then had a conference call in the middle of that. And then I got my afternoon stacked up. I got to go pick up a brush hog here in a minute. So at some point I'm going to have to pull over and with my truck and gooseneck, pull over to the side of the road and listen to Corporate America Babylon on a Zoom call. So, you know, so it doesn't matter. You know, work never stops.
Work never stops. It happens to be my day off this week and my day's jam packed. In fact, we were just talking. As soon as we get done recording this, I've got a Zoom write with a guy write with Chris Faust from Nashville, and we're writing with his mom. Now his mom was in a group in the late 80s, early 90s that had some top 40 hits or whatever back in those days. And they got a new album coming out that we wrote a song for that I guess they're going to release or whatever. They were a big enough group that some people would know them. I don't think they're a big enough group that people were demanding this comeback album, so to speak. But you know, they're good, really good singers, and they can, you know, still get the job done. So, but the name of the group always struck me. Like when I first heard it, I was like, wait a second, is that right? So they were called the Girls Next Door.
Yeah, I remember the Girls Next Door.
But do you remember
any of their songs?
Do you remember that? You remember that group?
Yes.
Oh, jeez, really?
That was what, 84, 85?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, that's when I quit listening to country music.
Because of the Girls Next Door?
No, I don't remember. I don't know. I think it's because my big brother got the Van Halen 1984 album. So.
Oh, and that just...
And then my other neighbor, you know, and then, of course, I lived on the farm, but the guy up the road had a guitar, and we decided we were going to learn how to play, I mean, electric guitar. We were going to learn how to play guitar.
Like anything?
We were gonna every 1984 song we were gonna be able to do by the time we were in eighth grade or ninth grade or whatever it was, and I can't tell you how that failed. But,
was Eruption on that album?
Yes.
Oh God,
I think sure it was, wasn't it? I have an Eruption story to tell you, right?
Oh, go ahead.
I probably told you. I've never told it on this. We'll swing back to the Girls Next Door in a second. I worked with a dude. I didn't really work with him in our office in Minnesota. We had an office in an office building, You know, it wasn't a government building per se. It was the government had leased space because after 9/11, they didn't have enough office space for us. So they just went out and commercially leased us space, right? So it was like we were supposed to be secret, but within a week, everybody in the building knew who we were. But there was a gentleman that my boss introduced me. I think I've talked to you about him before, Wes Foster. He had grew up fairly affluent in Western Minneapolis there. And in the 60s, 70s, he went out in the world and wanted to be a guitar player.
I think he was a studio guy
for maybe Deep Purple or done some session stuff. I mean, you know, you've met 100 guys like this, right? That had just floated around. So he tells me the story that he was playing. Because when I'd go down to eat lunch and he would be down there, he would come sit with me and my boss. And because we didn't talk about government. We just, I don't know. You know how you people in office environment know you just kind of... We probably liked each other because we didn't work together. Does that make sense?
You'd
go down there and get your lunch, and if somebody was there you liked, you'd sit with them. If not, you'd go, I got to go upstairs, and you'd go back and sit. Like me, I had an office. I'd go back and sit in my office and eat by myself as opposed to eating with the wrong people. Because I usually sit there and listen to Rush Limbaugh or whatever, and I just did my own stuff. But anyway, he tells a story in the early 70s. When did Van Halen's first album come out?
Oh God, had to be in the mid 70s when it first came out. I mean, I'll look while you're telling the story.
So he tells me he's playing with a dude that a big black guy, and I forgot the guy's name. I Googled him up one time, and he was somebody that had a Wikipedia page.
Clemens?
Somebody like that. I don't remember if that's who
he was. He was a sax man, Clarence.
So he was playing with some big black guy. And Van Halen opened for him out in L.A. at like the Whiskey or one of these things, right? And he said the deal was, though, was Eddie Van Halen the one that did all the strings?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. When he did like Eruption, some of that stuff, he would turn his back to the audience.
Because he was embarrassed?
No, because they didn't. That album was about to come out, and they did not want people to know. They had nobody ever played, I guess, up there on the top of the fretboard to make those sounds that he made.
Ah, okay.
So when he would do some of that crazy stuff, he would face the band.
So nobody could copy what he was doing.
So nobody could copy it. Yeah. So by the time you knew what he was doing, the album was going to come out, and then the secret got out, right? And he said that whoever his boss, or whoever the black guy, basically Van Halen opened for these guys, and they sat in the back and go, who's going to listen to this crap? You know, all the guitar riffs, and just all that crazy stuff. They're like three old guys. You know, they're in their late 20s at the time or whatever. They're like, what the hell? Who's going to listen to all that crap?
So the first Van Halen album came out in 1978, and you know the song, there was five songs on it. Or no, here's the singles that they released. The Running with the Devil, Jamie's Crying, You Really Got Me, Ain't Talking About Love. Those are the four that must have.
There you go. That doesn't say. I mean, that's all you got to say right there, right?
That must have hit. And I mean, Ice Cream Man. Oh, that was one of my favorites. I always liked Ice Cream Man.
Yeah. So that's the story he tells. You know, the other guitar story. I tried to call him the other day, and he didn't. Usually, he's good at calling me right back. So I don't know if COVID killed him or what, but because he didn't call me back. He had great stories. The other stories, he was obviously from Minneapolis. He had a relationship with Prince.
Oh. And,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. And he had the opportunity to do some stuff for Prince, but Prince didn't let him go on the road because Prince wanted an all black band. So it's like reverse discrimination. I'd like to take you, but you're black. He was a bass player, but, I want black guys.
That's it. That's kind of interesting, but but you probably can fit, you know, Prince probably had to had to take care of his
guys. You gotta play to the crowd, right? You gotta play to the crowd.
You know, I still haven't found where Eruption, what album Eruption was on.
I think it's just the lead up to
yeah, it must be to it must be it just, like
it's yeah, the lead up to
the intro yes. or something. That's super. Yeah, because I think I told this story. You know, we had a talent show when I was in high school, and a guy, Toby Pollitt, who is now a mailman in Columbus and is an Elvis impersonator,
That's cool.
He did teach
two great things to be.
he did teach himself how to play Eruption and played it at the talent show. Blew us all away. And he could not read music. He just learned by listening and playing.
So and if you Google that up, you're going to see 1,000 kids that done the same thing.
Hey, listen, that boggles my mind. I have no... God, I've written hundreds and hundreds of songs. I still have no... I can't play a note. I don't even think I could. I couldn't listen to something and repeat it. You know, like I could hear... I couldn't hear a note and then walk over to the piano and figure out what note that was played. Or a guitar. So anybody that can do that stuff, is my hat's off to them. It's an amazing talent. You know, whether they can read music or not, just to be able to do that. But back to the Girls Next Door. I was afraid to, like, because I'm like, the Girls Next Door. So I'm like, all I remember is, you know, growing up in that time period. Wasn't that like, didn't Playboy have like a series called The Girls Next Door?
Yes. Well, it's funny you said, because I just Googled them up to see. They had a song, and I'm trying to remember what song that I know them from.
Slow Boat to China?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I went back and heard, like, I'm like, that's a terrible name. But that was a saying, right?
Well, I guess. That meant nice fresh girl, right? Wasn't it that was a nice wholesome girl, was the girl next door, right? Unassuming.
Yeah, back then, before
right? Playboy. Back then, now who knows?
Before Playboy completely tainted.
I don't even know what you'd even. I was just what tripped me up there is writing songs with your mother. Could you write a song with your mother?
No, I could not write a song with my mother. But then again, my mother never had a top 20 or top 10 hit. So what was interesting is so foul. So Chris's mom was in the group, you know, the Girls Next Door. His dad is a very well respected, I don't know if he's well known, but he's a respected jazz musician. And I think he's much older than his mom, but they're not together anymore. Okay. But when his mom and dad got married, he was already born. And his dad's roommate was a guy named Dean Dillon. And you may know who Dean Dillon is. He wrote a little song called Tennessee Whiskey. And he wrote a bunch of other hits for George Strait and some other guys. And his girlfriend at the time was Tanya. So when Chris's mom and dad got married, Dean Dillon brought Tanya to the wedding. And Chris has a picture of him as a baby and Tanya holding him. I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's just so it's just such a crazy small world. So,
well, time slips away and it's a small world. I don't know. You know, I was looking at concert tickets. My old lady was looking at tickets for Taylor Swift, and she said, hey, what do you think? Taylor Swift's playing at Arrowhead.
Oh, God. How much?
The Kansas City Chiefs play. What do you think the cheapest ticket is?
$750.
I think the cheapest one's like $1,600.
And this is a secondary market, though, right?
I don't know nothing about it. I just know that if you wanted to be down there on the field, they started out at like $4,100.
Oh, my God.
So I was trying to figure out how many tickets she sells and how much she makes. That's what I was trying to figure out.
But see, I don't know that that's what she is selling the tickets for. You know what I'm saying? I think she probably just says, hey, look, we're coming to Arrowhead, and works a deal out with whatever, you know, company puts concerts on. She probably says, hey, look, I'm coming to Arrowhead. If you guarantee me $5 million, you guys sell tickets for whatever you want, but I want $5 million. Now, I don't know this, but to me, that's probably what Taylor Swift and somebody like that does, is just say.
And then somebody else gets the gate, the tickets, the t-shirts, or what?
Well, she would get all the merch. She'd get all that too, but she probably makes a deal and says, hey, look, I'll come to, we're going to go on tour. Tell me how much you'll guarantee me. Plus I get all the merch. And, you know, and someplace like Arrowhead probably says, well, look, we can hold 60,000 people for a concert, and we could sell tickets for $300 a piece. And she might even say put parameters on like what they can sell tickets for, you know, because you don't want to make it seem like you're gouging people too bad. But you know, the places, you know, the market's going to determine the price. So
how old was she when she got famous?
Well, she was in her teens when she first went to Nashville and started writing. But
her dad bankrolled the album, right?
The stories I've been told that I can't substantiate, but they had some money and it enabled. And she has talent. I'm not gonna say she doesn't have talent, but I think the backlash.
She was named after James Taylor.
Was she? Or is that what you're looking at?
That's what I'm reading right here.
Well, and Jonathan Swift. But,
and her dad was a stockbroker for Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, and I've heard a couple different things. But I think the thing is that she gets kind of a bad rap because she didn't really necessarily have any more talent than anybody else. There's tons of people's talent as her. She just had – her parents had the means to get her in the room with really good people. And so her talent was able to.
Well, if you've seen her childhood home.
Oh, it
doesn't look like our childhood home. And I have, you know what I mean? I'm looking at it right here, and it doesn't look like my childhood home.
Are you saying she
had. I mean, mine's burnt down. It's a freaking pile of ashes. But when I lived there, it wasn't. And it's.
Look, my childhood home was a kit from JCPenney's or Sears or whatever that mom and dad bought for like 19 grand and built.
Yeah, so, what's it worth now?
Probably $250,000 is what I would guess with the land. And
so does she write most of her songs? Like my daughter's a big Taylor Swift fan.
I would guess that she is at least a co-writer on every single song she's ever.
So last night a friend of my daughter's, Elizabeth, is bringing her home from church, and I meet them. And so there's three girls in a Toyota, one of which has no shoes, and they're all 15, 16. And I think any of those three could be the next Taylor Swift, theoretically. I mean, they performed Saturday. I was with them at a concert on Saturday. They perform at a high school level in band and choir. But in theory, they could go out and be the next Taylor Swift.
Well, maybe you should think about bankrolling them.
I wouldn't want to introduce these girls to that lifestyle. I said after church on Sunday night, girls that go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, don't go to Nashville. Don't need to go to Nashville. I think when I was listening to Cocaine and Rhinestones, I think didn't Tammy Wynette go to church three times? It wasn't Tammy Wynette raised a strict Baptist or something.
Probably, but didn't.
And look how there's a George Jones waiting at the bus station for the next girl that gets off the bus, right? I don't even know what do they do now that nobody rides the bus.
I don't know. It's not to me. I think these young kids like drive their old jalopy car to Nashville and park it somewhere.
What you're talking about. When my daughter drives the old jalopy, it's a 2016 F-150 Super Cruise. So it ain't like your old Chevette. Okay. I'm just telling you.
But there are some people that drive cars that it sounds like they barely made it to Nashville, you know? And, but here's the difference
is that true? Or is that the story they tell after they made it?
I know some of these guys, like Nate Smith, who's blowing up now. I'm friends with some of his friends, and I know he really suffered a little bit. Like he was down to his last dollar when he got his publishing deal. And Jimmy Allen, who's done some good, you know, he was one of those guys that was living in his car and, you know, get a membership to Planet Fitness so they had a place to take a shower every day.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, I don't know what the derail on living in your car is, because you can live in your car, but you can't drive your house. So if you're going to have one or the other.
There you go, yeah.
You're going to have one or the other. You might as well have the car, maybe. Hey, my buddy Ed called me and said, does your friend Shane, does he know kidding? He's met David?
Yeah.
You know which David. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, yeah, that used to be my weekly pickup. I'd call him and get a David story.
Yeah, there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. Which was funny when you texted me and said your one friend out there was married to a girl from
Iberia.
From Iberia, just down around the corner.
Well, and he called me again to say, because he was listening to the episode where you talked about building Christy a trophy case for all her stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because he called me again and he said, hey, my wife, Mandy, she ran all kinds of track stuff. He said, she just finished a 17-mile run today.
Oh, geez.
And he goes, I know they probably competed against each other. Of course, Christy's a couple years older. Mm-hmm.
Than his wife.
She grew up in Iberia, but she didn't go to school in Iberia. She didn't go to Iberia. She went somewhere else close to there, and I done forgot because...
Well, is it the school I told you, Northmore? That's the school for Iberia.
That could have been it. Yeah, that could have been. I don't know.
Christy went to Colonel Crawford, which Colonel Crawford and Northmore are they play each other in
bitter basketball. Rivalry.
I don't know. They play each other in football and basketball out of the conference. So yeah. But she's young. But Christy's like 5 years younger than me. So I don't know.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought she was our age.
Oh, no, she's younger than me.
Oh, you didn't tell me you're robbing the cradle.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. But so speaking of sports stuff, I don't know. That's a terrible segue. So we got Hall of Fame here in Crawford County. It's Crawford County Sports Hall of Fame. And it was started by an old principal, my principal when I was in high school and a couple other guys. And this weekend, my buddy, Mike McGuire, who's the head baseball coach at South Carolina Upstate in the Big South, he got inducted. Okay. Well, now spring, you know, of course, is the worst time for baseball for a guy who's, you know, still involved. Because
he's busy. Yeah. We're going to introduce you here. And he said, dude, I'm busy.
So they were like stunned that he wasn't going to miss a game to come back to Crawford County to get this plaque and stuff. So he asked me and the judge, he asked the judge to
accept it for him,
induct him, but me to accept it for him as him. Okay.
That sounds like a setup. That sounds like the From the Shadow setup.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So, of course, all, you know, and this is where, you know, we know, you know, this is where we're from. We know everybody there. Everybody knows us. And of course, you know, the judge is the judge. And so all week long, we're going to roast, because we know our high school principal, they're putting him in this Hall of Fame because he had a lot to do with like starting football at our high school back in the 70s and just doing, you know, so we're going to roast him because he was a renowned drinker. Okay. Like, there was not a lot of times, even during the school day, where he may not have had just had a drink.
That's okay? Back when we had real teachers, right?
Yeah, real
teachers. And the kids were scared.
That's right. Bingo. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so the judge is like, it's like we're working out a comedy routine. Like he's trying out jokes on me that he's going to leave open. Then when I get up behind him, I can finish it, you know, finish it off and stuff. And you know, we had some really good jokes, you know, that we thought were tasteful, not too bad. And so we get there to this Hall of Fame thing, and we start talking to some of the older guys. So, like, you know, of course, our old principal's in his late 70s, early 80s, and we're friends with, you know, this group of guys because they were the people we looked up to. Okay, so we're talking to this group of guys, and we find out our principal's not going to be there. He's having some really serious health problems, which is maybe why they decided to induct him, you know, while he was able. Yeah, sure. While he's still around or whatever. And so, but we still, you know, the judge is like, hey, he goes, I was going to tell these jokes. And like the one joke was, you know, hey, it's great to see our principal Don Miller being inducted. And, you know, I remember the time we had a blood drive in school and they asked Don what his blood type was. And he said 90 proof. And, you know, and so I was, you know, and there's a couple, and he goes, but all joking aside, you know, Don Miller says, you know, he doesn't drink anymore. He goes, but then again, he says he doesn't drink it. He doesn't drink it. You know, some real Don Rickle. We were going for the Don Rickles thing. And then I was going to get up there and say, hey, yeah, I want to second what the judge said. You know, Don Miller's a great principal, but, you know, only till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's when happy hour started in the office. And so these guys are all like, oh, you guys got to get up there and say these jokes. They said, it'll be great. And they said, they're going to live stream this so he can watch it. And we're sitting there, and, you know, so we're at the head table, and there's one, you know, we're the second people to go, and we're still debating before we get up there, like, are we going to say this stuff about him or not? Well, that's when we see his grandkids are sitting right in front of the podium.
And you're about to say some jokes about him, their grandpa being old drunk school teacher.
Not only that, but once I got up to the podium and looked down, they're holding the camera with the FaceTime, and he's in his hospital bed looking right up.
So you had to do it then, right? You had to.
We didn't because the judge was like, you didn't do it. So we had some jokes about other people, but I mean, now I'm kicking ourselves because, like, we should have done it.
That might have been the high point. Maybe that was the high point of his.
It might have been.
Dying of liver failure, unless he's in there dying of liver failure or something.
The other touchy situation is that his son, who's our age, moved back from, he was golf pro down south, and he moved back, and he's, I don't know, had a couple DUIs to the point where, you know, he's had to come in front of the judge and the judge has had to sentence him. And, you know, and it's like, man, do we want to talk about this old man drinking? Well, he has a very serious problem himself.
You raise your kids too. That's why you're raising your grandkids. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's terrible.
But you know, it was a cool night. You know, I told, you know, got to tell some good stories, and you sit there and you just, you know, you come from this little community, and there's like six high schools in our county, maybe seven, and every year, you know, there's somebody gets from one of those high schools inducted. And quite frankly, our buddy that got inducted should have been inducted a long time ago. He should have been in the first, second class. He's, you know, not only was one of the greatest basketball and baseball players to come out of there, but he's still doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still, quote unquote, living the dream, you know, living his sports dream out. He's
nightmares are dreams too, you know.
I know. Well, speaking of nightmare, he told me they lost last week. They lost their 3 and 4 hitters. Their two All-American and All-American pitcher who
lost them. They got hurt. They get drafted.
They got hurt for the year. They would have got drafted this year, but they got hurt for the year. So his catcher, who is his cleanup hitter, hurt his hand and he's out for the year. And his number one pitcher, who also is their DH when he's not pitching, kind of like you know, the Japanese guy Shitone. Or Otoni or whatever, he's lost. He's got a fracture in his back. And I'm like,
how do you fracture your back?
I have no idea. But I said, dude, I said, what are you going to do? And he goes, well, just like I told the team, we're going to go out and win the conference anyway. So, because he had high hopes. He felt he had the best team in the conference. You know, but it's a small enough mid-major conference that you really got to win the conference to make the NCAA tournament. And so it's one of those where you can have a really good team, but if you don't win the conference tournament at the end, you're not going to make the tournament. And he scheduled, like, you know, they already beat Clemson. They played Georgia. You know, he schedules a murderer's row out of conference so he can build up his RPI to go play. But, you know, that being said, it was fun. It was great to see, great to see some of, you know, hear some of the stories and see some of the old coaches. And I mean, there's a guy, like, there was a guy inducted from the Bucyrus High School whose jersey is hung in the trophy case forever. And I'd always heard about him. His name is Tom Walker, right? Tom Walker, yeah. And here he got recruited by Woody Hayes to go to Ohio State back in 67, 68. So he was going in with the group of guys that won a national championship in 69, and he had cancer and he had beat it. It was in remission and came back like his junior year of high school, but he was able to fight through and play his senior year. But then, went to Ohio State. Woody Hayes is like, look, man, we're going to honor our scholarship to you. You know, we'll, hopefully you can still play. And he got there and he never was able to play. And, you know, but
was cancer, cancer today will kill you. But back in the '60s, I can only imagine it would.
Well, the guy who got up was, and talked about him, was his best friend, was a guy who I worked for in the area drive through, you know, old Pudge. And so he told a story. One of his most vivid memories of the Walker kid was, he said, back then they would treat cancer with cobalt. Whoa. Like, must inject,
like,
you with cobalt.
Freaking heavy metal cobalt?
Yeah. And he said, he goes, I vividly remember, oh, Jim Walker was his name. I'm sorry, Tom was his brother that was there. So Jim Walker, he said, I remember Jim Walker. So the football field at Bucyrus sat down in like a little valley. And he goes, I remember seeing Jim with this, his neck all blue, pedaling his bicycle in the pouring down rain up and down that hill to get to work out so he could be ready to come back to practice. And he goes, that's the Jim Walker I remember. I'm like, good God, you can't even get, you know.
Kids to show up 2 days in a row. No.
I know. It's true. You know. It's true. Hey, my buddy Chris Hahn told me, you know, he works with those kids that are guys that are, you know, they're in that program, they're drug drug offenders, and they're, you know, they make them work out, they make them apply for jobs and stuff like that to try to. And he said a guy called him, and he was supposed, he didn't show up for something. The day after, like the second day of the program, he didn't show up, and he didn't call Chris. And Chris, so, you know, Chris talked to the judge and like, we're going to bring him in and kind of try to scare him. Okay. So he's got to understand, he's got to show up for this stuff. Well, he calls up Chris, and now mind you, Chris calls to tell me this. I'm out delivering mail in the rain. Okay. Mm-hmm. This guy calls
up. As a 50-year-old man.
Yes.
reliving every splash, reliving your life choices over the last 30 years, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. And this guy says, hey, look, I don't have a ride to the courthouse today. I don't think I'm going to make it. And Chris is like, listen, you don't seem to understand. You don't have any choice. You will be there, or they're going to come to get you. And the guy goes, well, I can't. And the guy lives two blocks from the courthouse. Two blocks. We're not talking New York City blocks. We're talking Cypress, Ohio blocks. Okay. Like 50 yards. You know what I'm saying? It's not very long. 100 yard block. And he goes, well, I can't walk. It's raining. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So this is a guy who has his second kid on the way with a woman he's not married to, and him and this woman are living in her parents' basement. And he doesn't have the gumption to even, because they told him, they said, look, you don't show up, you're getting thrown back in jail, and you've got 200 days hanging over your head. You're going to miss the birth of your child, your second child. And he's just like, well, I'll see what I can do. Now, I have not heard if he made it or not, but I was dumbfounded. I'm like,
how does that not surprise you? I mean, I don't know.
I'm stunned.
How does that not surprise you?
I'm stunned. I'm stunned that that somebody's living in the. I don't know. I
couldn't allow that. And you know, and now they're going to have a couple of kids, and the kids are going to be just even lazier. I mean, think every. You know, I was reading the thing that in America, in the civilized world, our skill sets are diminishing exponentially based on basically your grandpa can do twice as much or three times as much as you could. Okay. So like your dad could do maybe 2/3 of what he could do. Now you can only do 1/3 of what your grandpa, does that make sense? You got a dude 100 years ago or 75 years ago, and he could work on the truck or the tractor and butcher a hog. He could do all of this stuff, right? He could do all of this stuff. And then we quit butchering at home. And then we quit, you know, we cash rented the farm. And basically, you know, what our kids now can do is this TikTok, you know?
It's true.
That's what they can TikTok.
I can't do anything that my grandparents could do. You know, I think about my one grandpa cleared a 100-acre field with two plow horses and a steel plow and a hacksaw. You know, and he was that guy, you know, had a dairy farm and they butchered stuff and they grew, you know, I can't do any of that. My other grandpa jumped out of airplanes and, you know, worked on the railroad as a fireman and then actually worked as a fireman. It was fire chief. And, you know, I just remember him always working on his car. I can't work on a car. I can't. Certainly not going to jump out of an airplane. I barely want to get on one.
Yeah, but you think they could have done a podcast?
I don't think they would probably even see the value of doing a podcast.
Well, I can believe that. I agree with that sort of, but
back to I got a message yesterday from the local radio station who was at this Hall of Fame induction, and they are interested in creating a radio show or having me and the judge host a radio show for some sports stuff in Crawford County because we didn't tell the Don Miller jokes. They thought what we did do was funny enough, but not too left of center that,
like a sports radio show or a local.
Yeah. Like a
show
like
or
a,
what?
Like a sports radio show. But then I said, hey, what about us? Because then she mentioned, she goes, and you guys can promote the podcast. And I said, oh, that'd be cool. I said, but what about maybe us doing a Saturday night, like late night syndicated show about the paranormal and stuff? And she goes, oh, we got to get, you know, she's like, let's get together and talk. They have like 117 stations.
Oh, yeah. I talked to a radio station a couple of years ago, and they had like 400. And they was, what do you want to talk about? And I said, oh, I don't know. And I kind of, I didn't even go back because they wanted me to be specific. And I said, you don't understand how, I got ADHD, dude. I don't know. I mean, I can tell you I'm going to talk about this, but I don't know where it's going to end up. You know what I mean? Especially if you allow people to call in and say something.
Well, I think what we do is develop the show, the late night show, with a segment of, you know, 10 minutes with the Howler.
I think you should, because that's about part of it. For, yeah.
Yeah. 10 minutes with the Howler. We'll record it ahead of time to begin.
Oh, yeah, totally.
We'll
cut out the cuss words if I make the fat jokes, right?
And we'll syndicate. We'll get it syndicated, and then we'll go back to that 400 stations, and then we'll and then we'll have a show to sell them. How about that?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Now you just got to let the audience email you this week so they know what I should talk about 10 minutes on.
I think we could probably prompt 10 minutes up.
You know, last week I was late recording with you because I was on a live space with a friend of mine. He's a prepper guy that does, you know, he's got a big prepper following. Well, then he asked me to be back on last night, and it's difficult for me sometimes. These guys are very serious that they're taking the end of the world serious.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just, if you're right with the Lord and you got a couple AR-15s, AR-10s, you don't need to worry about it, right? It's going to work itself out. But every once in a while, my buddy that's invited me on it, he's got to prompt me, and it's like, I'm not talking because you guys are serious. So I mentioned, so at the end last night, they want to know where to find me, and I had to throw the From the Shadows out there because I don't have a presence. You know, I don't have no Facebook or nothing. And then they got on there and they said, you mean this Shane? I said, yeah, he's my producer. And if you get a bunch of crazy prep or anti-government people emailing you this week, you'll know why.
Oh, God. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can hardly.
Because wait. I told him that. I said, you know, I said, the guys do like a paranormal Bigfoot show, but I don't really do that either. I just talk about whatever they prompt me. I said last week, and these guys had talked in the show yesterday about China taking over the world, the Belt Road Initiative, and just, I don't know if you're familiar with any of that stuff, but it's just, it's a lot of stuff. It's a big international geopolitical type serious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and of course I had to say, well, last week on From the Shadows, I mentioned TikTok, and then they started saying that they wanted to ban TikTok. And I said, dude, I don't agree. I said, let it roll so those people can see what they're getting. And they go, really? I said, yeah, let's let them see this world. They might be scared. I said, the only place I screwed up is, remember I said something about they'd see all the fat people?
Yeah.
Didn't I say that? And I got to thinking, the more I got thinking about it, I think that's what's causing global warming, because they're on these people about the cows farting. Have you read that stuff?
Oh, yeah. That's
and
a lot.
Quit eating meat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think what's happening is the weight of the world with all these people, some of which are heavier than they used to be, is making it spin faster, which is why the days seem shorter. That's what's causing global warming. It's like a fat kid on a merry-go-round and gets spinning, you know what I mean?
Good God. So, mm-hmm. So are you saying, like, we're going to get thrown off because of the...
I think it's going to go spin. We're not. We'll be in the ground by that time. But at some point, the Earth's got to, right? It's got to just keep going faster and faster and faster because of the weight.
So if we stop eating,
No, I think what's going to happen is because the Northern Hemisphere has got Europe, Russia, the United States, and it's going to get heavier, which is going to keep making it tilt, and eventually we might turn over like a boat capsizing. So what's now the North Pole might be the South Pole.
Oh, brother. Oh, boy. We better get this syndicated radio show you off the ground.
Right? Yeah. Heart belly. Got nothing on me.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.